RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast. I don't know if I can do this. It's almost like taking Frank's thing. I have my friend Chad with me today.
Hello, everybody.
Are you scared, Tracy?
I honestly, yes.
I've been getting fantastic feedback. Really have.
Gosh. So I said, you know what? How about Chad, you join me for the podcast today? Because, you know, Frank is hiding in a mountain somewhere. And why not? Right? I mean, I guess we'll do the show together.
I want to be where Frank's, to be honest. It looked really nice on Telegram.
The studio? Or the place?
No, his little mountain hideaway.
Yeah, he deserves it. He needs to get away. He's in that horrible, 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 horrible state of New York. And can we talk for a second about the disinformation coming out in regards to New York? There was a post floating around that said basically that the new lieutenant, you know, the lieutenant governor took over there because Cuomo stepped down.
And she's a peach.
She is. She's lovely, Chad. And I'm of the mindset, honestly, like this is just speculation. I don't have really anything to back it up. But everybody thought that Cuomo was being forced to resign because of what he did with the nursing homes up there during COVID. But honestly, I think it's more because he didn't want to fall in line with the mandatory vaccination pushes that they're making. I think that there was some hesitancy on his part to so, you know, fluidly go along with the absolute tyranny that's going on up there and everywhere else. I mean, we can talk about what Governor McMaster said this week. I have to find his exact quote, but very disappointing, by the way. But anyway, that's why I think that one of the reasons why they got rid of him so easily. So there is a post floating around that this new governor, whose name I don't even know, which is telling, said that if you wanted to renew your driver's license, Chad, you had to get a vaccine. which is funny to me, because isn't their argument always that minorities don't have licenses, so they can't use them to vote?
Yes, they apparently don't want them to drive either by this statement.
Right, but the post was fake. It was a fake, and it's not real. And so I went around trying to debunk it for everybody, because there's enough going around that's horrible that we don't need to create stuff. But it's the point is that it's not outside of the realm of possibility that these tyrants would do something like this to the American people. And I wonder, you know, what would happen when a good percentage, if they did this in New York, didn't renew their driver's licenses. And then the police force really wasn't there, because look what's happening in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're looking to lose half their police force this weekend.
And did you hear that she actually said we have contingencies if we lose half of our force?
What wow. Are they going to bring in? What are they doing? I mean, they don't even have contingencies now. People are dying upon
state police. State police is their contingency, which, wow, that's a big state. To be pulling state police all into Chicago, which is, let's face it, it might as well be Lebanon. I mean, it's a dangerous, dangerous place. Violent crime's up 11%. And old Beetlejuice is like, no, we got it. We can lose half of our police force. No worries. We're good.
She's terrible.
This is what I yell about all the time as a public safety guy. They love to stand with us. But boy, do they love to stab that knife deep, deep in our back. The minute that they don't like something, or that they need money, or that they need to push an agenda. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. And, you know, another thing that's not helping. I was talking to somebody, I guess I'll say who it was. I was talking to my dad, and he was saying, you know, look, we back the blue. I mean, the police have our support 100,000% of the way. We love our cops. But they're not doing much to inspire confidence when they're arresting 16-year-old girls at school for not wearing their masks.
Back your oath. You're not there to listen to a mayor. You're not there to listen to the politics. Our oath is all dictated on rule of law. You have every right to say, I'm not arresting that person based off of this crazy town stuff. Arresting a 16-year-old kid is dumb.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, for not wearing a mask. I mean, in school. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, there was another story where cops were forced to come in and arrest a woman, a mother, who was by her ailing daughter's bedside. Her daughter had suffered a stroke. She was having a really hard time. The doctor asked for her to stay because she was the only one who calmed her down. She went into surgery, came out. That she was freaking out because she couldn't speak. She had lost her ability to speak. And everybody was like, it was frantic outside of the room and everybody was running around. And the mom was there to calm her down. And the nurses were like, well, due to our COVID rules, you need to leave. You can't be here after 7. And she's like, I refuse. I will not leave my daughter's side. I will not leave her. And they arrested her and she spent a day in jail. She spent a day in jail. And I'm sitting here like, well, what happens at 7 o'clock? Did the magical COVID fairies come in and you know, use their wand and now COVID spreads throughout the hospital? Like, you can have visitors up until 6:59, 59, and then all of a sudden it's open season for COVID? What the hell?
Tracy, you know that COVID is always dictated around Father Time. Remember, you could only go to grocery stores at certain times and you could only do this, I mean, back in the beginning. COVID has always had particular hours of the day that it's just really, really bad. Didn't you figure that out in all your COVID research? You haven't found that yet?
It's also a case of how tall you are or where you sit.
Right. Don't forget race. They threw race in there too.
Yes, yes, yes. So
COVID is such a sketchy, sketchy, sketchy virus.
It is. It's smart. Very smart.
It's super, super smart. Maybe so, that's why.
What?
They just, never mind. Go ahead. Never mind. I won't take it to the toilet yet.
I want to talk about McMaster because I'm.
Ah, this guy. Old Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah.
This is so disappointing, Chad. For the most part, I have always been a big fan, of Governor McMaster. I thought when we were in the midst of COVID, even though he shut us down, which I thought was a terrible, terrible decision, he handled religion particularly very well. He came out, he talked about the Constitution. He said he's not going to stop people from going to their local houses of worship to worship. He said, you know, a lot of churches are doing online services, that he and his wife do online services, but that's not going to stop him from going to church if he wants to. And none of us should have to be worrying about that either. Great. Mm-hmm. Now he says that he won't stop businesses from mandating vaccination because they don't have the authority to do so. He says, quote, those are questions between employers and employees. We want to protect that relationship and let it be one of their choice. It's their decisions. That's free enterprise and the government shouldn't interfere with free enterprise. Listen, here's the problem. We're not in the world anymore where standing on principle is working. You have a bunch of tyrants who are attempting to take away bodily autonomy from people. And then you have him saying, well, we can't get involved in business. Dude.
Well, how about, I have another quote for you. When Biden said he's going to bring a mandate on all federal employees. Here in South Carolina, we will fight you to the gates of hell.
Right.
But now, if you work for Nike or H&M, by God, hey, you know what? Those people can live in that hell. I don't have to worry about it because I'm not the governor and free enterprise is just that. You're right, Tracy. At some point, you have to just put your flag in the ground and say enough.
I know. It's great. I need to have my music queued up for you. I should have. Shut up. I got to tell the story real quick. We have our little meeting sometimes, and one of our meetings, we were at Chad's house, and he got into this really passionate, amazing pep talk. And it was just so inspiring. And like in the middle of it, I was like, this needs a soundtrack.
You're such a jerk.
So I found a song. I think it was this one. Hold on. I started playing this.
America, it's your time. This is where you deep down inside, you decide, am I going to be part of the problem, part of the solution? I ask you, America, show up, stand up, speak up. It's your republic.
See? It works.
It's like Pavlov's dog with me. My mouth starts watering. I feel like I got to be all Independence Day president at the back of the Hummer type thing, you know?
Did you see
sperm?
Before the 2020 election, a good friend of mine, his name was Mad Liberals on Twitter before we all got banned. He made a meme. It was like a video where he superimposed everybody's faces over that scene in Independence Day. Where, yes. Yeah, I was in there and I turned and looked at Ted Cruz.
It's so good. That's, you've got some pretty good stuff out there. I mean, just recently, somebody, apparently you finally got your trophy from our event in Miami. That's fantastic. I hope you post that. Did you?
It's everywhere.
Okay, good. I haven't been on the gram yet, so.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
I apologize, but congratulations. I was there. I'm really glad you finally got that award. I see the Sun News today actually stipulated that you got an award. That was great. It's out there. You deserve
I just want to let you know, the more you poke, the more I have a list, Chad, and I will get you back in spectacular fashion. I'm just warning you.
Well, Tracy, nobody does it better than you, except for maybe me in other ways. But if anything, it's good radio or podcasty or whatever we're doing right now. I mean, we already got word that people were falling out of their vehicles from our discussion last week. So
we're here on the side of the road where people are falling out of their vehicles.
Dark the Light does it again. Are we going to get our own thing on MSNBC of deaths? That would be crazy.
So
it's all made up anyway.
Just weeks ago, like you were saying, McMaster said, what authority does the federal government have to issue mandates? Now, the people asking their employees to be vaccinated are doing so under the fake mandate that doesn't even exist, that there's no enforcement for, that there are no rules to dictate. There's nothing, Chad. There's no OSHA. They said they just finished writing a draft and nobody can see it until after it's approved. And they say that they're making, they're changing it to allow for exemptions. But they're not even like, and this is a nuanced discussion that I got into with somebody or a couple people on Telegram the other day, is that, you know, President Trump has now come out and said, you know, people who have natural immunity shouldn't be forced to get a vaccine. And I said, that's fantastic that he's changing his tune a little bit on these vaccines, but nobody should be forced to get a vaccine, not just the people who have natural immunity. Like, he needs to walk back more, in my opinion.
No doubt. Look at Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving can't play in New York, and he is one of arguably the best players in the NBA. If I was his teammate and I was looking at a $1 million bonus because I made it to the NBA Finals, I'd be like, yo, Kyrie, I'm with you. I'm not playing either.
Here.
I'm always going to stay true to me, and that's me. You know, this is my life. I get to do whatever I want with this. This is one body that I get here, one God body that I get here. And you telling me what to do with my body, and it has nothing to do with the organization. I'm going to put that out there. It has nothing to do with the Nets. It has nothing to do with my teammates. This has everything to do with what's going on in our world. And I'm being grouped in to something that's bigger than just the game of basketball. And, you know, you got that fandom, you know, which is like a religion to people out here. Basketball is like a religion. Entertainment is like a religion to people. They like get so caught up emotionally. It's just like, yo, effing get vaccinated or just leave. You know, we angry at what you're doing, man. And it's just like, nah, that's like, what are you talking about? I'm a human being. I have emotions. I have feelings. I have thoughts, things that I keep to myself, things that I share. But I'm staying grounded in what I believe in. It's just as simple as that. It's not about being anti-vax or about being, you know, on one side or the other. Like, it's just really about being true to what feels good for me. You know, I'm still uncertain about a lot of things, and that's okay. You know, if I'm going to be demonized for having more questions and taking my time to make a decision with my life, then that's just what it is. You know, like, that's something I got to sit in. You know, I know the consequences of the decisions I make with my life. You know, I'm not here to sugarcoat any of that. But if we really gonna be real, like, it's crazy times we're in. It's crazy times. Like, how many people are really thinking with a balanced view? You know, how many people are really thinking about the future of what's going on? It's crazy times we're in. We just came out of one of the craziest pandemics of all time, and you're telling me to think rationally. How many people are really thinking rationally? I'm not the focus here. You know what I mean? I got on here to really show that, like, I'm real enough to stand up when I feel like I'm being put in a effed up position. You know, like, I'm not even that. I haven't hurt anybody.
He's right.
Man. And that, I love seeing that. And it also go against their narrative, because they've made it that this is a pandemic that actually attacks as far as the numbers are concerned, African-Americans are a lot more susceptible to it. It kills so much of their narrative. And he's right. This isn't about sides. This is about Kyrie Irving, his family, in this one chance we have at what we call life. And by God, we should be able to make that determination for ourselves. I applaud Kyrie. There's a lot of other NBA players that have already came out and spoke about it. And it's one of those things where right now, the only thing I can say to all of that, and I'm proud of him, and I hope other people show up and stand up, is let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
This morning, I read something. And just to give you an idea of what's happening right now, like in general across the country, it's not working anymore. So Twitter has become basically a bastion of liberal hell. And just to be honest. So in the library on Telegram, one of my favorite places to hang out, by the way, mm-hmm. there was a tweet posted from this guy who decided. Hold on. I have it here. I wasn't prepared to pull this up yet, so I'm just looking for it. Here it is. He says this. I'm just going to read it, and then I'm going to tell you what happened. His name is Chris Vickery. He's at Vickery Sec, S-E-C, on Twitter. He says, set a date now, and after that date, no hospital services for the willingly unvaccinated. Seriously, pick a date now. Make it something like December 1st, 2021. Broadcast this fact widely. And then after the chosen date, anyone choosing to refuse the COVID-19 vaccine can deal with the consequences of that choice alone. It's been long enough. These people have had plenty of hesitation time and buffer space to, quote, check the science. There's no legitimate, well-reasoned, generally applicable argument to not get the vaccine currently. Human society isn't a suicide pact. If you're too dumb to get the COVID vaccine, then you're not fit for continued life on Earth. That's your choice, but the consequences of refusing to get the vaccine is you having to wave a fond farewell and separate from the surviving world. So this is...
But you want to take my guns, and there's people like him walking around.
Right? So this is like...
That's the very reason we have guns.
Precisely.
My buddy always says, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. This is legitimately the most ratioed tweet that I've seen in a long time. Do you know what a ratio is?
Crap. This is where you make me look stuff up again.
You don't have to look it up. I'll explain it just in case people...
Ridiculous.
Look. A ratio is when a tweet gets far more comments than it does retweets or likes. So
I don't get retweets, so I never know that.
Okay, so if somebody... I hate Twitter, but if somebody like tweets something unpopular... More of the time, people will comment on it to tell them what an idiot they are than they will retweet it. Hence, a ratio. The ratio of comments to retweets is ridiculous. Mm. Okay, so this tweet was ratioed into oblivion. It's got thousands and thousands and thousands of comments. All of them. Not one person agrees with him. Even the people that are pro-vaccine that think that mandates are good don't agree with him. Many of the people are saying... Hey, dude, whatever happened to healthcare is a human right.
Especially as a liberal.
Right.
Exactly.
Do you know that the vaccine, like the people that really, the most of the people that haven't gotten the vaccine are minority. You want to remove mm-hmm. that. And then people are like, well, let's do obesity. Let's do anybody who gets into a shootout with police and gets shot. Let's do, I don't know, diabetes. Mm-hmm.
You keep smoking and we keep putting stents in you.
Let's not take care of people who drink and drive and get into car accidents. I mean, where does it end?
As a firefighter, I have taken care of a drunken driver that killed somebody. And we worked just as diligent on him as we did the person that he killed because he was drunk. What if I just sat there and threw some dirt in his face and said, you screwed up? That makes me the judge, jury, and executioner. That's not the way this country is supposed to be.
That's not your job. That's not your job.
No, ma'am. My job is to, and my job essentially, and we took it that way on those rigs, is it's my job to save this man so that he can face the judgment that he's supposed to face. Not that I just say, I'm gonna let him die.
It's terrible.
None of us should be playing God anywhere.
Terrible. Terrible.
It is. It's disgusting. There have been people I've had to save their life that I didn't, and be a part of saving their life that I didn't want to. I'm not going to lie. But we believed in what we did, and that's what you are supposed to do. Stay within your lane. There's a lot of people that are driving all over their lanes right now.
It's almost like there are people that like come to you for help and you do it, and then you know, you're like, you know what, I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do. And then they crap all over you.
I like to say when I turn my back and I'm like, well, that was nice. I feel good about myself. And they hit me in the back of the head with a brick.
Sort of feels
happens
like.
A lot. Sort We're of in politics. Like. It's supposed to happen anyway.
So look.
Conditioned. Yes. Look at what?
I don't know. I'm going to put you out of your comfort zone. You ready? Oh,
buy more ammo. Hashtag buy more ammo. There you go.
Do you know anything about the Spygate scandal? You know, the whole thing. Do you know any detail about anything that happened during, you know, the 2016 election and what the FBI did to President Trump and who the players were?
Well, with the FISA warrants and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say yes. I'm an expert because you're Tracy Beans.
Okay, so Andrew McCabe, deputy director of the FBI, interim director of the FBI when they canned James Comey, right?
Jerk.
Was fired because he lied to the inspector general in something that was considered to be unrelated, the Hillary Clinton email investigation. He was asked mm-hmm. questions about that and lied to the inspector general and tried to throw his own people under the bus for a leak that he actually was responsible for. And it was a grave, you know, I don't want to say crime because it wasn't a crime, but it was a grave assault on the sanctity of his office. Like, it was horrible what he did, throwing his own people under the bus for a leak that he was actually responsible for. So they fired him and they took away his pension because they fired him under the Trump administration. And it was a big hubbub back then and everybody was going crazy about it and whatever. That man actually likely deserves to be in jail for what he's done to this country. But just yesterday, the DOJ fully restored his pension and provide him attorney's fees. Slow clap.
That was slow clap. Yeah. I love it. And let me tell you why. I tell people all the time when they want to argue with liberals, throw out the things that they have no answer for, i.e., excuse me, Mr. Liberal person. Why exactly, if you can explain to me why Biden decided to raise the prices of EpiPens and insulin, I'll vote Democrat for the rest of my life. Nobody can give you that answer. It didn't help our country. It didn't help the people. And this is another one. This is that what we talk about here in the great state of South Carolina, the good old boys, and how they do what they do. McCabe did what he was supposed to. He did it under the guiles of the powers that be in the Democratic Party. And he's now being restored for what he was supposed to do. He just took a little bump on the head and now they're making everything okay because he was a good little sheep or soldier, however you want to talk.
It's terrible. He said, I think the message you get loud and clear from the terms of the settlements is that this never should have happened. It feels like complete vindication because that's what it is. I spent 4 years of my life on this story, Chad, 4 years of it. To see that happen on top of all the other shit that we are dealing with was just like, why not? Why not? Why not? Why don't we give them, you know, Nobel prizes at the same time while we're at it? But just.
That's next year.
Then. You know, there's mumblings because they are indicting people like John Durham is indicting the little minions. And we're getting some information. I don't know if you remember the Guccifer 2 hack.
Yep.
Well, Guccifer 2, I have argued and I have the receipts for years, was not an actual Russian surprise. I'm sure everybody's stunned. Yeah. Or a Romanian. And I have the court documents to prove that Guccifer II was the actual Guccifer, whatever you want to call him. Number one, the one who actually did hack and get Hillary Clinton's emails, was brought over here in a very weird, strange way, extradited from Romanian prison to come here to be indicted when he was already in prison in Romania. He was brought over here. They talked to him, gave him a plea deal, and shipped him back over. And then all of a sudden, 2 months later, Guccifer II appears.
Have mercy.
And there have been people that have dug into this extensively. So if this is the thread that Durham is pulling on, guess the next thing, I have zero faith that this is going to, I personally, you know, like there are people like Brian Cates and others that still think that Durham is going to pull off some big grand, you know, indictment spree, and James Comey and Andrew McCabe and Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, and all of them are going to go to jail. And there's just no way. I have zero faith in that at this point. But
I'm with you. Yep.
Yeah. But if he's pulling on the thread of the Guccifer story, he is no doubt more than likely to find that Seth Rich was the one who got the emails from the DNC.
Yes. How's that going to go over?
I mean, there's no other conclusion other than that.
So, well, let me ask you, for the good people out there, how do you see that going down? Because, wow.
Well,
because you're right. There's nowhere else it can go. How does that go down?
Well, I mean, they're almost there now. I mean, you know, there are reporters talking about the HPSI transcripts that were released like 2 years ago. What? Oh, well, not 2 years ago. They were probably released, it feels like 2 years, right at the end of Donald Trump's presidency or right after the election where, no, it was before. It's basically all the transcripts of the hearings in the Russiagate probe and the ones that Adam Schiff kept under wraps until he couldn't anymore. And they say in there, they have Sean Henry from CrowdStrike, the firm that the DNC hired to, you know, former FBI guy, Sean Henry, saying that we have no proof that any of the stuff was actually exfiltrated over the internet. They said it in the so now there are reporters from like the American Spectator and they're going through these transcripts and I'm like sitting here like, oh my gosh, I swear. If I had a dollar for every story that I and others had, there are other people that have done this that have broken over the past 4 years that all of a sudden people are like, look at this. I'm like, drives me insane.
Well, that's because they keep stifling us.
True.
I mean, if we were the mainstream media, we would have done fix this thing a long time ago.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you see boy. What I'm right, Tracy? And they go out and they put out your stuff. We've seen it. I've heard it like word for word talked about on radio shows. And I'm like, that's weird. And the thing is that they won't let Tracy Beans get bigger. Look at me. I didn't even get big and I've been canceled in everything. I did a debate last night in Surfside locally, and I tried to share the feed onto I'm Fired Up on Facebook, and it didn't matter if I had the Lord our God do it. It wouldn't let me. I even had my interns at Coastal Carolina trying to connect it to. They won't let you. They will not let you get out there.
It's
that's why we got to just be louder every chance we get.
Well, that's why we depend on everybody out there to keep sharing stuff.
Keep sharing it, man. Keep sharing it. I mean, and Tracy has been the truth for a very long time. And the guy, people like us, they don't want us out there having our viewpoints because we bring the truth, or in your case, the light to darkness.
Ah, well, thanks.
Did you see how I did that there?
Yeah. Yes.
The marketing business.
You are.
Ask the drinking patriots. They know.
The drinking patriots.
The breeder.
Drinking with patriots.
They're awesome, man.
I'm looking right now. I'm just seeing that a British MP named David Ames has been stabbed multiple times and has died from his injuries. Just trying to figure out what he stood for. So I know how they're going to frame this in the media. Like if he was a
alt-right power boy?
No, if he was a pro-vaccine mandate MP, they'll frame it as though a crazy anti-vaxxer attacked him because of his, you know, they'll try, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm trying to see, I don't know what his viewpoints were. This is terrible.
It's so bad.
It is. It's terrible. I don't like reading stuff like this. Did you hear how disgusted I was at the prospect that people would bet on whether William Shatner was going to live or die in his trip?
How disgusting was that?
Isn't that horrible?
I know William Shatner. When I lived in California and I was a bodyguard, a friend of mine was very good friends with him, and was she did natural food, and she was trying to help him with some hypotension stuff. And he's the nicest guy you ever meet. And for people to go out there, and that's just how far from God we've really come, to putting up bets on whether or not William Shatner can make a flight like that, made me sick. It just makes me sick.
It's terrible. I can't.
And the people is, they think they're funny. Like, I've got a dark sense of humor, but that's just bad. I got a clip for you.
You do?
Are you scared?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I laughed for 30 minutes. This was at the national dirt track races, and these young children were asked to.
I already played that on the show.
Well, I didn't hear it. Never mind.
Play it again. It's okay.
It's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Play it again.
Okay, sorry. I'll play it again. Is this where I do the Frank thing? Like, let's see. We'll press this button. And
yeah.
Parts. They're going to help kick this thing off. All right, guys. Ready? In 3, 2, 1.
Drivers, start your engine. Let's go, Brandon.
I think the best part of...
Do you know what I told Elizabeth, my wife? I said, that's my son. She's like, oh my God, I know it. And I'm like, I'd be like, okay, listen, Maximus, you need to go up there and focus. And you need to go up there and you need to plant your flag in America and say, let's go, Brandon, after what they say. Okay, Dad, I got it. And little kid's wearing camouflage. Now tell me that's not my kid.
Dude, the guy, the host's face after he said classic. Classic.
It's the greatest thing ever. I'm not surprised you've already played it, though.
Did you catch Sanjay Gupta on Joe Rogan?
Oh, I haven't. I have that. I want to go listen to it because Sanjay Gupta is an idiot, and I just can't wait for Joe Rogan to pound him.
It was actually, I wish that Joe Rogan would have let him talk a little bit more, but mm-hmm. I believe that I have this clip here.
Yes.
I'm going to hold on a second. So I watched this entire podcast because I really, well, no, this one I saw 3/4 of. He had one with Alex Berenson, who is a former New York Times reporter who's been really, like, honestly on top of the COVID story. Mm-hmm. He still gets some things, like, I don't know. It's almost like he's afraid to go completely over to the, quote, dark side. So he still has a little bit of a narrative, in my opinion, but his information has been really, really, really good. So I listened to that whole one, and then the episode right after that was this one. And here is Joe Rogan confronting Sanjay Gupta on his network, CNN's, what they did to here.
Horse dewormer is not a flattering thing. I get
it's
that.
It's a lie. It's a lie on a news network, and it's a lie that's a willing, that's a lie that they're conscious of. It's not a mistake.
Yeah.
They're unfavorably framing it as veterinary medicine.
Well, the FDA put this thing out. You saw that. Did you see that thing that the FDA put out?
What did the FDA put out?
It was a tweet, and it was snarky. I admit it. They said, you are not a horse, you are not a cow, stop taking this stuff, or something like that.
Why would you say that when you're talking about a drug that's been given out to billions and billions of people, a drug that was responsible for one of the inventors of it making the
Nobel Prize.
Winning a Nobel Prize in 2015.
15, yeah.
Yeah, no, a drug that has been shown to stop viral replication in vitro. You know that,
it's,
right?
And why the thing about it is, hold on, I got to stop. Joe, I love you. You're doing a fantastic job, but you don't have it all. Like, there are real world studies of how good ivermectin works. It's not just in vitro. Like, the fact that he says that diminishes his argument, and people capitalize on the fact that he doesn't know or hasn't read the rest of the studies on this.
I heard it differently, though. I heard it differently. Like, I think a guy, Joe Rogan at UFC, and I'm like, wow, he threw out the in vitro part, you know.
He's talking to Sanjay Gupta, Chad. True.
You got to be prepped.
Seriously.
You're right.
He's not talking to the everyman right now. Like, right. Do you know what in vitro means?
Yeah. Maybe stuff.
Well,
That's what we said medics when we were medics. I mean,
look. It is. That's what it means when a baby's in gestation. I'm going to find the
in vitro
study, but that's not what it means when it comes to studies. An in vitro study occurs in a controlled environment, such as a test tube or petri dish.
Right.
In vivo is Latin for within the living. They've done in vivo studies as well. So in vitro is just basically in a petri dish, not in human beings. It's
pulmonary lab study is what he's saying, where it's gone to people. They've done studies in actual living people.
Yes.
There's lots of studies on them. Yes. Okay. Yes. We're on the same page.
So when he says in vitro, it makes it seem as though it's only made it to a petri dish and hasn't been applied in the real world. And that's not the case. So that's why. Okay. Here we go.
I and say that's horse dewormer. I can afford people medicine, motherfucker. This is ridiculous. It's just a lie.
I don't think anyone is.
But don't you think that a lie like that is dangerous on a news network when you know that they know they're lying? You know that they know that I took medicine. Like, here it is. This is ivermectin.
You got
this
it
right
you.
Here. Somebody gave it to me.
All right, hang on. The thing is, we're like going so fast. Like, I feel like I'm missing.
Do you think that's a problem that your news network lies?
Well, I don't.
Dude,
what did they say?
They lied and said I was taking horse dewormer. First of all, it was prescribed to me by a doctor.
Yeah.
Along
they
with
shouldn't have said
a
it was
bunch
horse.
Of if, other if medications.
If you got a human pill, because there were people that were taking it, the veterinary medication.
The people were taking the I would have jumped in if it were me, which it wasn't, and said, hey, Sanjay, listen, the people were taking the veterinary medicine because the pharmaceutical establishment, working in concert with the federal government, denied the people access to the human medicine as prescribed by their doctor.
Same argument with hydroxychloroquine and fish tank cleaner.
Yep. Remember they trotted out that woman who supposedly killed her husband because she thought that if she gave him fish tank cleaner, he would get better from COVID. And then when they started digging into the story, they found that she actually freaking murdered him on purpose.
She straight up Investigative Discovery Channel killed him.
Yes.
For real.
So I'm just saying it's not the first time. Now they're starting to say, we're going to finish this clip, by the way. Now they're saying that it just came out how taking aspirin cuts your chances. It cuts the chance that you will pass from COVID if infected by 50%. Because it's a blood thinner. You start taking it early in disease course and it can keep your blood from clotting and causing you to die. So they just started coming out with news reports saying nobody should be taking aspirin. It's bad for you. You shouldn't even take it for heart attacks anymore. I can't make this up.
Genocide.
This is the single, the only thing that makes the big silver lining in this cloud, Chad, is that people are much smarter than this.
Yes.
They see it. And the 2% or 3% that are this effing stupid, they're going to die off. And I don't know what I'm going to say about it. Like, if they keep listening to what these idiots are telling them, they will not be here.
No.
I mean it. It's sad. It makes me sad.
Right.
I'm not happy about this.
Well, the thing is, it's ideology, right? They don't want to hear your facts. They don't want to hear Dr. McCullough's facts. They don't want to hear Dr. Z's facts. I'm going to say Z because I always say his name wrong.
Flanco.
But I know you know.
Elizabeth, I'm telling you so that you know.
I know that you know.
Well, listen, but one isn't your thing. Once you hear it once right, then you can say
four times.
Okay, Zelenko.
Dr. Z and Dr. McCullough. I mean, if I was a doctor, I'd like for me to be Z. You know, it's like, hey, Z, what's up? It's cool. He's a cool doctor. And he is. He's a redneck New York upstate doctor.
I made Chad listen to the interview we did with Dr. McCullough and the interview we did with Dr. Zelenko on the way home from Miami the other day, because I thought those were two of the most powerful COVID interviews we had done.
And I've shared them everywhere across this country. And I'll put out to both doctors, if you need anybody to watch your six, call me. I'll be there in a second and I'll bring a couple big dudes with me, because this is crazy. And the work that they're doing and the going out on the limb like they are is nothing short of truly patriotic. And I'm proud of both of them, and we need more of them out there.
Totally true. And, you know, I we're doing a story today that'll come out on a piece that an academic paper or a medical paper that Dr. McCullough just published yesterday, along with some mm-hmm. other authors, that goes over the risk of. Now, he's a cardiologist, remember?
He's That's a cardiologist. Like his thing. That said, I'll put the rest of my certifications up against any other doctor you can find.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's saying he's writing a paper on myocarditis after vaccination. And we're in the middle of writing it. My Michelle Edwards, amazing reporter for us, is doing the research and getting all her stuff together. And they take it down. The study has been removed.
No.
Yeah. So I reached out to him this morning. I said, hey, we were in the middle of writing on this and it's gone. And then he sent me a clip and he said, they're coming after me from every angle. And I said, stay strong, dude. We need you.
Yeah, let's move into Horry County. We'll have bikers following him everywhere. It'll be good.
Seriously. Anyway, let's listen to the rest of this. Sorry.
Okay. You're not, obviously. You got it from a doctor, so that it shouldn't be called that. Ivermectin can be a very effective medication for parasitic disease. And as you say, it's probably, you know, I think what, 250 million people have taken it around the world?
More,
I get that.
Way more.
So
way more. Billions of people have taken it.
Can I just come back to the one I want to talk about?
Before we get to that, does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied, outright lied about me taking horse dewormer?
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask? You're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before.
But they
coming
did it with
podcast.
Such glee.
No,
yes,
Joe.
They did. I watched.
His face says it all right there. So that's that. Now, here he is. Here.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
He makes an amazing point because Sanjay Gupta is the chief medical reporter for CNN.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they ask him?
They did. Here.
So very important. I know it's in large part a tongue-in-cheek interview, you know, because it's Joe Rogan and there's a lot to, you're jockeying back and forth. But he did say something about ivermectin that I think wasn't actually correct about CNN and lying, okay? Ivermectin is a drug that is commonly used as a horse dewormer. So it is not a lie to say that the drug is used as a horse dewormer. I think that's important. And it is not approved for COVID.
That's not true.
Correct?
Guess what?
That's not true.
It is now on the list of the NIH's medications for COVID.
Take that, Don Lamone.
Don Lamone.
Lamone.
Lamone. Don Lamone.
I've heard that four times.
Here we go. Listen, wait.
That's correct. It is not approved for COVID.
It is.
You're right. I mean, the FDA even put out a statement saying...
The FDA doesn't decide.
Basically reminding people, it was a strange sort of message from the FDA, but they said, you're not a horse, you're not a cow, stop taking this stuff, is essentially what they said, referring to ivermectin. Now, I think what Joe's point
that
is...
It's been approved for humans, but not necessarily for COVID, right? Yeah.
That's correct. It's been used for a parasitic disease for something. It's called river blindness, and it's been very effective for that. But, you know, just because it works for one thing doesn't mean it works for something else. And, you know, there's still a few ongoing clinical trials around ivermectin. But for the most part, if you look at the data,
Wrong.
There's no evidence that it really works here.
Wrong.
When Joe got sick, he took ivermectin. He also took monoclonal.
He's saying that it was the monoclonal antibodies that made him get better, not the ivermectin. There's no way that we will know for sure because he took them all. So there's no way for us to know what happened. However, I can tell you, I don't know. Hold on. I want to go over this because I'll get your perspective, given that this isn't like your main topic that you focus on, Chad, right? I mean, this isn't like your thing, but
but I follow it. My wife she's your little, she's your mini you.
I love Elizabeth.
She is a researching machine.
She's amazing.
She keeps me abreast of a lot of this because of the local stuff we're in. But I've got something to say about this. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead while I look for this.
All right. So my thing is not so much about the ivermectin or anything, but in our today's media, you showed the absolute left's concept of propaganda whore.
Yeah.
Because what did you do? You had Sanjay Gupta going, oh, yeah, man, I see what you're saying, Joe Rogan. That's what they do. And then when he got back there with his homeboys, Don Lemon, he was able to say, yeah, man, you're right. You're totally right. Even though I'm a doctor and I know that what you're saying is total bullshit, you're right. You're totally, totally right. Thanks for letting me be a part of this cool network. Thank you. Goodbye. Go to commercial. That's what you see. It's whoring out of our information. The First Amendment is there so that we can always hold our people accountable. And we actually have them in concert with each other and whoring out our media. It just makes me sick.
It is. It's sickening.
It makes me sick. You saw two faces of a certified doctor, someone I've had to raise my hand as an EMT. And my small medical certification that I have, this guy is an internist and he's the chief medical officer of a, well, their ratings are poor. Their ratings are very poor. But CNN is a network that's out there for everybody to listen to. He's the chief medical officer for that network. And he's whoring himself out to Don Lemon. It's disgusting.
So this was misrepresented. This chart here was last updated on July 8th, which is several months ago now. But, you know, ivermectin is under evaluation for the treatment of COVID-19. It still remains under evaluation for the treatment of COVID-19. The NIH does not recommend for or against its use in the treatment of COVID-19. You know what other... there's three other medicines with it here. Remdesivir is one of them. And next to it in this chart, it lists the adverse events that are possible with the medication. Remdesivir, nausea, ALT and AST elevations, hypersensitivity, increases in prothrombin time, that means clotting, I believe, drug vehicle, SBECD, which has been associated with renal and liver toxicity. It could occur in patients with moderate or severe renal impairment. And then it goes on to say like what they should do if any adverse effects are encountered. And then they have ivermectin next. Generally well tolerated. Some side effects, potentially dizziness, pruritus, GI effects like nausea and diarrhea. And then they say that neurological adverse events have been reported, but only when ivermectin has been used to treat parasitic diseases that are in concert. So I've read all about this. There's like river blindness and another worm that if you have them both and you use ivermectin, it could cause a problem in the blood-brain barrier that causes like a temporary mental issue. When the medication is stopped, that seems to resolve itself. And they could never, ever, ever pinpoint that the medication was what caused that to happen because the parasite is kind of bad for you and can kill you. So... you know, there's been like, I think you could count on your hand the number of deaths from ivermectin ever in the history of the use of the medication.
You just laid out the side effects, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen AstraZeneca and they come up with these really, really cool commercials and yeah. You can't get the name of it out. And then at the end, it's that fast talker that used to do Micro Machines. And he's like, and you must watch out for anal bleeding and eye bleeding. And that's just for somebody that has bulging eyes because of a thyroid.
Yep. Yep.
This is to save your life from a worm.
Yes.
Or otherwise.
Or otherwise.
COVID-19. We are the work you've done and the people you've had and that you lift up are extraordinary. I sat in the car for you for, well, roughly 25 hours.
Wow. God, that's crazy.
I know. And we didn't even fight once.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. People called and checked on us, but we didn't fight.
People did call and check on us.
But you do. This is what needs to be. That's why I want to see Tracy Beans all over the world. She needs to be, you need to share these podcasts. You need to share everything that she's put out because like you said, nobody's proved you wrong.
No. And it's only because it's not because it's me. It's because we're using good data and that's really hard. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're using numbers don't lie. Like they say, right? Numbers don't lie. And I believe it was South Korea. I don't know if you've heard this. South Korea is 85% vaccinated and they have a major uptick in COVID people.
Yes.
New infestations.
Ireland is 99.7% vaccinated and they're experiencing a ridiculous surge right now. And you know what's going to happen? That's where the next variant is going to come from, Chad.
The other chicken coop.
The other chicken coop. Yes.
Yes.
Hold on a second here. We have Dr. Pierre Corey, who testified in front of the South Carolina Medical Committee, the Medical Affairs Committee.
Medical Affairs of the Senate, yes.
Yeah, let's just listen. I don't know. I haven't listened to this yet, but he's talking about ivermectin success in Mexico. I'm going to play this just for a minute or two, and let's hear what he has to say.
Dr. Corey is the former associate professor and chief of the critical care service and medical director of the Trauma and Life Support Center at the University of Wisconsin, and recently joined the ICU service at Aurora St. Luke Medical Center in Milwaukee. He is board certified in critical medicine, pulmonary diseases, and internal medicine. Dr. Corey has traveled across multiple states in the U.S. to care for COVID-19 patients throughout the pandemic. He's also the president of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, a nonprofit organization of critical care specialists led by Professor Paul Merrick, whose mission over the last 9 months has focused on the research and development of effective treatment protocols for COVID-19 using repurposed.
Can we just stop and say, how dare they attempt to find early treatment for COVID? Like,
that's just crazy town.
I mean, who do these people think they are trying to treat this virus instead of just letting people stay home and die? I mean, I can't believe we have people like this walking the face of the earth right now. It's disgusting.
I feel like I should stop brushing my teeth so I can get cavities, so we can treat the cavity.
Right. That's the way.
See what I did there?
Yes. That was brilliant.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Redneck science.
Listen, it's what makes the world go around anyway.
He received his MD from St. George's University School of Medicine.
Not only that, but conspiracy theorists shouldn't be allowed to go to medical institutions like this and educational places and get their degrees.
We're still talking about what this guy certified in, for God's sakes. And I'm already just like, oh, my God, he's smarter than me.
Yeah, we're like a minute in and
it's just a cert.
No, that's because they didn't know, Chad. When he went through all the schooling, became an expert, was accoladed all over the medical world for years, that he was actually a tinfoil hat wearing in my mother's basement conspiracy theorist who was just waiting for the opportunity to rip off the facade and show everyone what he really was.
The real Superman.
Yeah.
Not the binary or bisexual one.
Right.
Right. Go for it.
The ambiguously gay duo.
I remember. I think you and 10 other people, and I understand that.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on, Superman.
I'll only add that to.
What'd you say?
I said, come on, Superman, give it to us.
Okay.
We added Dr. Corey very late to a hearing in May, because I'd heard of his development of, I guess, anti-inflammatory steroids in critical care on COVID. And Dr. Corey, I have to tell you, I've had doctors come up to me and thank me for holding that hearing where they listened to you, change their thinking. They believe they've saved their patients' lives because of your testimony at that hearing. I hope your testimony will be as impactful today. Dr. Corey.
Senator, thank you. And thank you for holding this hearing.
Can you stop it?
I just want to start out. I didn't think I'd.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be cool if we listened to these hearings like we do a football game? Because like right there, I wanted to stand up and yell and clap and stuff.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I listen to these all the time like that and people make fun of me.
No, I'm with you, man. I feel like I need like I've got those getter sticks that light up. I sit there.
No, honestly, one time I was listening to a hearing and I was like underneath my desk, like doing cable management or something like that. I don't remember. And I was listening to it and I heard something so utterly impossible to listen to. I had this like overwhelming fit of emotion I had to release, and I recorded a clip of myself screaming or something. I don't remember what it was. You get so mad.
Well, you're talking to the guy who gets mad all the time. They call me a thug and stuff. But how cool would that be at the Senate, where they have little seats at the top? That's what the people that like have the doctor's name on their shirt instead of like the Lakers.
Yeah, that's what we should be doing.
And when he says, you spoke to a bunch of doctors and you are credited for saving all of their patients' lives. And I'd be like, yeah, that would be so much more fun at the State House. I'm just saying.
I mean, they should have relaxed those rules. They've relaxed everything else. I mean, there's no law and order anymore. Why not let people cheer in the Senate hearings? I don't understand.
Amen.
Go ahead.
But I want to register.
Thank you. Thank you, Chad, for letting me go ahead with the clip. I appreciate it.
Shut up, Beans.
Defense at the ranking member's opening statement. I was discredited as a politician. I am a physician and a man of science. I have done nothing but commit myself to scientific truth and the care of patients. And to hear that I'm here because of a political angle, I am not a politician, I'm a physician. I want to start out by saying that I'm not speaking as an individual. I'm speaking on behalf of the organization that I'm a part of. We are a group of some of the most highly published physicians in the world. We have near 2,000 peer-reviewed publications among us, led by Professor Paul Marek, who's our intellectual leader. We came together early on in the pandemic, and all we have sought is to review the world's literature on every facet of this disease, trying to develop effective protocols. You just mentioned that I was here in May, and I recommended that it was critical that we use corticosteroids in this disease when all of the national and international healthcare organizations said we cannot use those. That turned out to be a life-saving recommendation. I am here again today with a new recommendation. In the last 9 months, in our review of all of the literature as a group, again, we are some of the most highly published physicians in our specialty and the world. We have done nothing but try to figure out how to identify a repurposed and available drug to treat this illness. We have now come to the conclusion after 9 months, and I have to point out, I am severely troubled by the fact that the NIH, the FDA, and the CDC, I do not know of any task force that was assigned or compiled to review repurposed drugs in an attempt to treat this disease. Everything has been about novel and or expensive pharmaceutically engineered drugs, things like tocilizumab and remdesivir and monoclonal antibodies and vaccines. We have 100 years of medicine development. We know we are expert in all the medicines we use, and I do not know of a task force that has been focused on repurposed drugs. I will tell you that my group and our organization, I will say that we have filled that void. That is all we have done is focus on the things we know and things we do. And I'm here to tell you, Dr. Reiter, he just presented. He has one study of the many that I want to talk about. And I want to talk about that we have a solution to this crisis. There is a drug that is proving to be of miraculous impact. And when I say miracle, I do not use that term lightly. And I don't want to be sensationalized when I say that. That is a scientific recommendation based on mountains of data that has emerged in the last 3 months.
What's Sanjay? I can't stop listening to this, Chad. I only wanted to play a minute of it. Do you want to finish it? It's like another 6 minutes long.
6 minutes. Go for it. Does he get mad?
I don't know. I've never heard it before. This is my first time listening to him.
He sounds mad. I like him already.
He's a New Yorker. That's how we get passionate about shit.
New Yorker.
I have 1 minute left in the podcast, but I am in charge of the podcast. If you want to go, you can. I'll just play this in him.
I'm still sitting here in my boxers. I'm cool.
Well, that was a visual. I'm sure all the ladies love out there.
You're welcome, ladies. I'm married.
Very happily married.
Very. Well, she's mean to me, but I'm happy.
To a redhead. It. Watch out.
A redheaded that can tan.
Alien.
Seriously. All right, here we go.
I am told, and I just had to hear this in the opening sentence, that we are touting things that are not FDA or NIH recommended. Let me be clear. The NIH, their recommendation on ivermectin, which is to not use it outside of controlled trials, is from August 27th. We are now in December. This is 3 to 4
This was a year old.
Holy cow.
I've never heard this before. It's even more true now. That was his.
I want to know if the lady running for the lady in this group that went after the other doctor from South Carolina that asked a bunch of stupid questions, who's running for governor. I wonder if she came at him. I wish I knew her name. I'm sorry. I wasn't prepped for that, but
I think
she's running for governor for the Democrats. And she made my wife wakes up every day and goes to her page just so that she can pound her.
I know who you're talking about. She was the one who attacked the doctor that they had on their show. Yes. I'm putting the rest of this in the show notes. I can't believe I never heard Pierre Corey's, Dr. Corey's famous rant. This is what it is. This is what kind of like threw him on the, he got lambasted and respected for this all at the same time. Now I'm remembering. But I mean, I've never heard that before. That's amazing to me that I've never heard that before. When he started saying,
for Tracy Beans, ain't it?
What?
It's a whole bunch of validation for one Tracy Beans and Uncover.
Well,
a lot of validation there.
He said that, what was I saying? Shit. Oh, when he said that the NIH recommended against it in less clinical trials, I was like, wait a second, that's not true. And then he said, this is December. And I'm like, wait, no, it's not. It's October. So it was a year ago. About it. If in December of 2020, people were using ivermectin, just think about it.
Well, then we have to ask ourselves, did really 600,000 people die in the United States?
No, that's a whole different ballgame that we have to.
Exactly. So how many lives are we saving if we did it from the beginning? But quality of life and shutdown and economies, we wouldn't have ships sitting out in the middle of nowhere. It's ridiculous, man. This is a snowball effect. And the Democrats have finally figured out a way to use our economic system as a weapon that they hate.
Do you see what after DeSantis said that they can use Florida ports, Joe came out and said, hey, guess what, guys? We're going to leave the California ports open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, man. You can't.
You really can't. But I thought did you hear that the biggest issue is with trucks, but they won't allow owner-operator trucks?
They won't allow trucks. After that were from what I saw, and I don't have the sourcing on it, I'm just putting it out there, but I saw this. They will not allow trucks below a certain year of manufacturing. Like, I think it's
2014.
Okay. See?
2014. See, now we're getting to the redneck stuff. I know trucks. Peterbilt, Kenworth, yep. But these guys, they won't even let owner operators, which that means a guy that spent his entire life, lives on the road, is a one truck trucking company. They won't let them in the port because of the union. They want it to come from trucking companies. So if it's an owner-operator truck, a guy for the 2020 brand-new Peterbilt, 53-foot trailer, on airbags, whatever the heck they need, you can't come into this port and help get this stuff out to America. Save Christmas because you're an owner-operator. You don't work for another company.
That's crazy.
This is stupid.
It is.
And look, man, unions are what they are. But this type of stuff is what kills it. We have a problem right now. How come we can have a pandemic and looking out over people pay bajillion dollars to live on the ocean, to look at that ocean. And then now they see it looks like skyscrapers sitting out there floating in the middle of the water because of these huge ships. We're just not going to let owner operators get in there because that's just bad.
I don't get it.
That's everything that capitalism is supposed to be. The entrepreneur that went out and saved his pennies and got himself a 2016 Peterbilt. Makes me sick.
Say that again.
Which part? Oh. For an owner operator to be out there with his 2016 Peterbilt, flying that American flag on the sleeper coach, waxing it every day, taking care of it, doesn't get to be a part of saving these United States and the one holiday that brings a smile to everybody.
Oh, you snorted.
Sorry. I'm trying to hold it back. It's a gift. I'm sorry.
We're done. We're done for the day. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with my friend Chad. Where can they find you if they're looking for you?
Hey, man, I'm going to Clout Hub all day, every day. But Clout Hub, you can find me, Thug Army Patriots, or under I'm Fired Up on Twitter, Facebook. Well, Facebook kind of, and Twitter kind of. But Clout Hub, Telegram, it's I'm Fired Up also. Go check it out. You'll see my hair on fire with the headphones. And come check us out, man. Tracy, we're going to relaunch soon. So
yes. Yes.
I'm really excited. And we'll see how long it takes me to have another investigation or get arrested. We'll see what happens. But Cloud Hub said they're not going to censor me, so we'll see.
They're not. Jeff will not censor you. Fantastic.
Get over there. Get on Cloud Hub, people. That place is awesome.
It is. I love Cloud Hub. We're on there, too, all the time, yep. Every day. We had Jeff on the show a couple times. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on, oh, by the way, this is the worst ending ever. Monday, we have Texas Representative Steve Toth, the one who just brought the bill up that says that anybody who has been dishonorably discharged from the United States military has an open position on the Texas Border Patrol because they won't take the vaccine. Anyone who declines the vaccine and is dishonorably discharged has an open position waiting for them on the Texas Border Patrol.
Love it.
So Representative Stephen Toth will be joining us on Monday. And Wednesday, none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, will be on the Dark to Light podcast this coming Wednesday. Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, RadioInfluence.com. We will be back on Monday. You're supposed to say later.
You're supposed to fire me and then I say later.
Oh, you're fired.
Later.
On this week's episode of Crush Performance, it's our annual NHL-NBA season preview as we break down the teams, the players, and the storylines we'll be watching this year. We're joined with Crush favorite Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide, as we break down each league to find out who's hot, who's not, and what's piquing our interest. In the annual ebb and flow of sport performance, there are teams on the rise and there are teams on the slide, and then there are those teams that constantly perform. What are the key concepts to organizational performance and organizational success? We break it all down on this week's episode of Crush Performance.
Crush Performance with Jeff Crochelle can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.